Ellen Vaughn describes a woman we can all admire because we saw Jesus in her.
Elizabeth Elliot was an authentic hero. Part of her journey of loss and heartbreak and ministry, radical ministry, was about getting to know who is Jesus really and what is his call in my life and how do I obey that no matter what.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. For September 14th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
Well, if you've been a longtime Revive Our Hearts listener, you may be thinking, whoa, did I get the wrong program? Has Gateway to Joy come back on the air? Maybe you were a listener to Elizabeth Elliot for years, as many of our listeners were, and you've now grown up with Revive Our Hearts over these past nearly 20 years, and you love hearing that voice, Elizabeth Elliot. And so many women have told us over the years what a friend, a mentor, a spiritual mother she was to them. Revive Our Hearts stands squarely on the shoulders of this remarkable woman of God. I've read many of her books over the years, maybe most or even all of them, and loved them and been discipled and influenced by them. And you probably have some of those same feelings. But now, nearly 20 years ago, when Elizabeth Elliot and Gateway to Joy went off the air, the Lord gave Revive Our Hearts the privilege of going on the air as a successor to Gateway to Joy. And anywhere I go to speak over all these years, I always have women come up to me and say, I was an Elizabeth Elliot listener. And when her program went off the air, I really, really missed her. In fact, some people have said to me, I was mad that you came on the air because I didn't want to lose Elizabeth Elliot. Well, no one could fill Elizabeth Elliot's shoes. And I had to come to the place where I realized that I wasn't supposed to fill Elizabeth Elliot's shoes, that God had given her a distinct and unique ministry for her generation, and that now he was giving a distinct and unique ministry to me and to Revive Our Hearts. But I've been so influenced, as have you, by her walk, her words, her ministry. And now I'm so excited that the new authorized biography of Elizabeth Elliot is off the press. I'm holding the first copy in my hands. It's called Becoming Elizabeth Elliot. And over these next days, you're going to get to meet the author, Ellen Vaughn, and you're going to hear why it's called Becoming Elizabeth Elliot and get a taste of what's included in this first of two volumes of the Elizabeth Elliot biography. Now, I want to introduce you to Ellen, who is the author. And Ellen, welcome to Revive Our Hearts. It's such a joy to have you here to talk about this story.
It's fun to be with you, Nancy. Thank you.
And I've known of you for years because you and my husband have known each other for a lot of years. You've worked together in a lot of publishing projects. I knew you back when you were Ellen Santilli and you were working for Prison Fellowship, or at least that's a name you wrote under some. You worked with Chuck Colson over a lot of years. And if you've seen a book with Chuck Colson's name on it, it's probably had Ellen Santilli Vaughn on it as well. You've written over 23 books. You're a New York Times bestselling author. And when I knew that we were talking about a biography of Elizabeth Elliot coming to be, you were the person I thought, wouldn't it be great if Ellen Vaughn could write this biography? You're a great storyteller. You're a great researcher. You're a beautiful writer. And I'm just so thrilled that you've done all the hard work to bring us this story. And you're going to share with us some things that are new, even to Elizabeth Elliot aficionados. But also, we have a lot of listeners who may not know who Elizabeth Elliot even is or was. And we want to introduce a new generation of listeners and readers to the life of this woman because her message is timeless. And you've dug deep into the early chapters of her life. And there are things there that you're going to bring to light that people haven't been aware of before. So thank you for taking this journey and taking us on a journey. We're very excited about it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Nancy. It was a great honor to write this book. And I grew up knowing who Elizabeth Elliot was. I read some of her books. I heard her speak at my church and other venues in the Washington, D.C. area. And I really admired Elizabeth Elliot. I thought, oh my goodness, here's this woman who is a renowned missionary, who lost her husband to violence, who went and lived among the tribal people who killed her husband, who does that, and then went on to write 24 books and really become a spokesperson in the second half of the 20th century for evangelicals at a time when there weren't that many women's voices in that arena. And she was a great leader. So I admired her, but I found her a little bit intimidating. And I wasn't sure I liked her very much.
You're not the only woman who's ever felt that way.
Evidently. And so when I was approached by her daughter and her best friend about the possibility of writing the authorized biography, I was thrilled because here was a person whose thinking was so robust and her faith was so countercultural. And I was anxious to get to know her better. And I was given all of her journals. Now, many people are familiar with Elizabeth Elliot's books, and we know and love those volumes. But to read the story behind the story, the inside scoop, what was she really feeling as she was going through so many incredibly dramatic losses and delightful times and adventures in the jungle and everything in between? And to read those pages was an incredible journey for me to get inside not just her brain, which was very formidable, incredibly gifted intellectual woman, but also to get inside her spirit, to have a sense of the poignancy of what she was going through.
And it wasn't all just beautiful painting in those journals.
Right.
There
right.
are very realistic human fears and wrestlings and things she grappled with that we didn't always know because she always seemed so poised and put together and had just the right words for just the right occasion. She did have a sense of humor. We heard that at times in her speaking, and I can still hear her mimicking accents.
So she prayed that God would choose a man for her in England, call him, and send him straight out to her part of China and have him propose. Then as she told me this story, she leaned toward me on the sofa where we were sitting, her bony little finger pointing into my face. And she said, Elizabeth, I believe God answers prayer. He called him, but he never came.
But the inner parts of her heart where she wrestled with God and with some of the experiences in her life. More of that comes out in her journals. And because you've had access to those journals, more of that is found in this book than even those of us who knew and loved Elizabeth Elliot were probably aware of.
Right. And that's why this volume really focuses on her early years and on the whole
notion.
That's
the becoming.
The becoming.
Elizabeth Elliot.
Because in the early years of our lives and our journey with Jesus, we're all becoming, and that's true as we grow older and as we're godly old ladies one day, right? But I think that maybe people who admired Elizabeth Elliot but are a little bit put off by her, as I used to be, will enjoy seeing the processes God used in her life to really mold her into a woman who then had quite a platform to speak around the world 300 days a year, to influence lives through radio, through books, in a way that has left quite a legacy for generations. And for people our age, we're well familiar with Elizabeth Elliot, and I gather your listeners are well. She's well-loved at Revival
Many
Hearts.
Are, but then you have those in the younger generation who are saying, Elizabeth, who?
Right.
That you had that experience as you were talking with people about the book you were working on.
Right. So I go to Wheaton College, which is her alma mater, as Jim Elliot went there. And
her library is housed there.
Right. And there's Elliot Hall. There's a dormitory there named after Jim. And I would ask students, do you know Elizabeth Elliot? And they would say, no. What year is she? And so even at that place, among people who are in their 20s, Elizabeth Elliot, maybe her name is known, maybe Jim Elliot is known. Oh, yeah, he's the guy who got speared. But there is a story, I think, for millennials and for younger generations that's in this book, Becoming Elizabeth Elliot, that is a rich story to be discovered, because Elizabeth Elliot was an authentic hero. She was a person who didn't just adhere to sort of a cultural Christianity, this is what we do because it's expected and we check off all the boxes. But part of her journey of loss and heartbreak and ministry, radical ministry among indigenous people in the Amazonian jungle, part of that journey was about getting to know who is Jesus really and what is his call in my life and how do I obey that no matter what. And I think that's a kind of a robust message, a robust way of living that very much would appeal to people who have never heard of Elizabeth Elliot.
And she wasn't afraid to challenge the current thinking, the status quo, to rock some boats.
Right.
She was courageous and would say things that maybe many others weren't saying, but she would do it in a way that made you think, that brought you along, and you might be mad at it at first, but then you right. find yourself often saying, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
True. And one thing I tried to do in this book was give the reader an experience. I wanted to tell a story. A lot of Elizabeth's books that we all know and love are rather didactic in nature. And I wanted this to be an unfolding story for the reader, that they would be able to travel along in the jungle. And for me, part of the pleasure, really, of doing this book was going deep into the Amazon jungle and living briefly among the Waodani, the tribal people with whom Elizabeth Elliot lived, the tribal people who killed Jim Elliot and his four colleagues so many years ago, back in 1956. And I found that experience almost like time travel. First of all, I have to say that I am not necessarily a nature traveler. And so,
not a camper?
Camping is good as long as a toilet is involved and you have electricity. And neither of those were present deep in the jungle, I'm telling you. And so to be among the Waodani and to be sleeping in a hammock and wearing these knee-high rubber boots so you wouldn't get gnawed upon by creatures and having to sleep with something over your head so the vampire bats wouldn't nibble at your head in the night, and to use the most beautiful outhouse in the Amazon. And the hunters would go out each day and they would bring back a monkey or a wild pig, and we would all feast together after it had been roasted over the fire. And there was a great sense of community with the Waodani, who are themselves a few generations removed from those who killed right. the missionaries. And one of the men who killed the missionaries that day so long ago, back in 1956, was still living, Minkayi.
He would have been in his 90s, right?
Yes. No one knows how old he was. And he is a brother who loved Christ. And even though we did not speak the same language, we had such a connection that you sometimes feel with people where you know the Spirit draws you together, even though you are so, so different. And to sit with Minkayi while he took a long, long piece of hard wood and carved a spear with a knife-sharp machete. And he's carving the spear, sharpening its point to give to me as a gift. And I had this time travel moment of feeling like, oh my goodness, all those years before, Minkayi sitting and sharpening a spear yeah. to kill the missionaries. And the miracle of what God does in human lives. How did Minkayi come to know Jesus? How did he come to change his ways? Really, through the most unlikely circumstances, where two women, one of whom was Elizabeth Elliot, and a little girl, Elizabeth's daughter Valerie, 3 years old, going into the jungle and living with the tribal people who had killed their loved ones and demonstrating there is another way to live. The power of Christ to forgive can change lives and change generations. And for me, one of the sweetest parts of writing this book was to go and to be in the Amazon jungle and to see with a sense of how God works in human time. It's according to his eternal precepts, but also he is doing things that none of us can even imagine because we just dwell here in real time.
And things that Elizabeth herself couldn't see back then.
Exactly.
In fact, we'll talk about this later in this series, but in some ways, Elizabeth's ministry there in the jungle, by modern standards, would have been considered a colossal failure.
Correct.
Not success as we measure success today.
Yep.
But she learned a different measurement of success that we need to learn as we think about what God has called us to do and, mm-hmm. and what our world considers brilliant or capable or accomplished isn't always what furthers the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's the things that look like they don't work or they don't come together or they don't make sense, the conundrums to which there are no easy answers. It's through these things that God sometimes does his longest term and sweetest work. And Elizabeth walked through a journey of experiencing and learning that herself.
Yes, yes. And so I was surprised myself as I delved into those journals, as I saw the story inside the story. Because I think in evangelicalism, sometimes the story of Jim Elliot and Nate Saint and Ed McCulley and Roger Udarian and Pete Fleming and their martyrdom at the hands of this indigenous people has been presented almost as a glorious, triumphal.
Yeah.
And then the whole tribe came to Christ. And God's work is in much more subtle and majestic and ways than we can understand, really.
And there were a lot of broken pieces
yes,
and parts of
yes.
that whole story, and we'll talk about
yeah.
some of those.
Yeah, exactly.
But things that just seemed counterproductive.
Right.
And like, the kingdom of God is coming through this.
Right.
But yes, it does. Through broken, flawed, insecure individuals, God sends his spirit and does his work. And you don't see till eternity, really, the whole package, the story that God is writing and is unfolding. And at there are points when we have to be content and satisfied with mystery mm-hmm. and not understanding. And Elizabeth, we knew there were hard things in her life, but it wasn't just the martyrdom of her first husband. She was actually twice a widow,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk about that later. But it was in some of the behind-the-scenes stories that come out through these journals, which, by the way, you have a copy of one of the journals, not a copy.
This is
one of the actual journals right here. I know that handwriting. I would know it anywhere.
Right. Well, and I have to tell you, when you were just talking, it brought to mind, in my experience in going through these journals, Nancy, and it was like Elizabeth's life was unfolding for me in real time, page by page by page. And I knew what was coming.
Right.
And she didn't.
She didn't.
She didn't. And it
just
was
like we don't.
Yes.
In the story that
yes.
God is writing in our lives
yes.
right now.
Yeah. And so the scripture that really came to mind for me is in Psalm 139. And it's where the psalmist is talking about how God formed us in our mother's wombs. We know this great psalm. And the section that talks about, and all of the days that were ordained for me were all known to you, O Lord, before even a one of them came to be.
Yes.
And for me, I was going through some rough waters myself, and we'll talk about that later, as I read these journals. And I thought, O Lord, Elizabeth couldn't see that all of these days ordained for her were planned by God, even as she lived them. And that transferred to me. I realized
yes, they were going to become part of your story.
Yes, exactly. And so my days, as they unfold, if they feel futile, if they feel tragic, if they feel whatever, how the days feel is not the test of what God is doing.
Yeah.
That's a similar point to what you said earlier. We are so conditioned by our North American culture to think of things in terms of success and to check things off. And how did that go? What were the numbers? What were the results?
Yeah.
And
see the end of the project.
Yes, yes. How did my day go? Can I check off that I felt victorious and happy and fulfilled this day?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And I think those are enculturations that Satan would love to use to trip us up and that really impede us from having a freedom in Christ that knows, oh Lord, if this day in my journal is a mess, a weeping mess, it is not wasted in your economy. And you are doing things in eternity that I cannot see. And I don't get it, and my heart hurts, and this is awful, but you are with me.
Your and sometimes that trusted. Horrible weeping mess is yes. because of circumstances over which we have no control.
Yes.
As Elizabeth had many of those in her yes. life. And sometimes it's just our own brokenness and sinfulness. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, Elizabeth Elliot is iconic in the Christian mm-hmm. world. And so we tend to just have this very beautiful, no, she was always mature, she was always godly, she always knew the right answer. But what you see in these journals is a woman who was very frail, who knew her own sinfulness, who sometimes had responses that were not something she would have been proud of. In fact, you talk about mm-hmm. how she went mm-hmm. back years later and saw some of the things earlier in her journals and said, did I write that?
Right.
But she was becoming mm-hmm. a woman of God.
Right. And those of us who follow can see that. We get to see the story completed. Not completed as it is in eternity, but completed in that her faithfulness yielded fruit that she never could have dreamed of.
And even her faithfulness when she didn't feel faithful.
Right.
Or when right. she was grappling with rogue emotions. Mm-hmm. There's something endearing to me that makes her more approachable. Approachable was not a word people used about Elizabeth
no.
Elliot.
No.
Intimidating was maybe the yeah. word you would have thought
severe.
At first. Severe. But when you read the backstory here, you realize mm-hmm. that here's a woman who had feet of clay, just like we do,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and who knew her own bents and inclinations to worry, to be severe. And she let God surface those in her life many times through these hard circumstances, and she let him sanctify her. And so the Elizabeth Elliot we came to know and love in her later years, mostly through her writings and her radio ministry, Gateway to Joy, was not this ready-made saint.
Correct.
She was developing. She was becoming this woman of God, mm-hmm. even, and which gives me hope.
Yeah.
When I see the frailties and the failures of my own heart. And there are times, Ellen, when I think, if the women who love this ministry could see me now, if they could see what I'm thinking, if they could see mm-hmm. what I'm feeling, if they could know the things that make the Lord sad and that make me sad about my own failures, they wouldn't pay any attention to what I say. They wouldn't be interested in following this ministry. But I love the fact that we're in this journey together and that God is taking broken, needy, weak, flawed people who are willing to offer themselves mm-hmm. up to him. And he makes us like Jesus. He's in the process of transfiguring us, transforming us. And we see that in Elizabeth in a way that I think is really encouraging.
Yes, and I think one thing that is greatly needed in all of our communities of faith is a real transparency.
Yes.
We don't need to be people who are coming together like we've got it all together. And I think when I saw in Elizabeth's younger journals, I felt for her. And one thing that I wish that she had, if I may say that, is close friends with whom she could be vulnerable. In her younger years, she really struggled with not wanting to show emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all of us, my sense about you and the community of people who are part of Revive Our Hearts, is a real focus on the fellowship of Christian sisters.
Yes.
That we can come together and not necessarily exhort one another with what one should be doing, but just to be able to grieve together.
Yes.
Or to say, I have been struggling with this ugly response to my husband in certain situations, or I feel hopeless about this, or whatever the emotions are, that there be a freedom to say, this is how we are. And Jesus, who draws near to us, who comforts us in our afflictions, who cares for us, not because of how well we perform, but because of his own grace and love, that he draws near. And so if anything in these journals, there'd be times where Elizabeth would be writing along in her beautiful flowing handwriting and saying, oh, Lord, help me. I am ridiculous. And I, as the biographer reading along, I feel comforted, like, oh, good, she was ridiculous too.
It's not just
me.
I know
I am. Right.
Well, we're going to delve into some of these early years of Elizabeth Elliot's life as we talk about what you learned writing this biography, becoming Elizabeth Elliot. You've already encouraged me as I've read the book and then listening to you describe your journey as you wrote the book. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow and lots more to learn, even for those of us who thought we knew a lot about Elizabeth Elliot, and even more so for those who are not familiar with her life. I hope all of our listeners will get a copy of Becoming Elizabeth Elliot. It's beautifully written, it's compelling writing, and it really spoke to me in so many personal ways, and we'll talk about some of those over the next several days. We're making this book available to any listener who makes a donation of $30 or more to Revive Our Hearts. And when you make that donation, this book is our way of saying thank you for supporting the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. Now, we know you can get this book at other online retailers, and you may want to do that. But when you make a donation to Revive Our Hearts, you're helping the ministry of Elizabeth Elliot and Revive Our Hearts continue reaching out to women around the world who need to hear the same truths that made her who she was are the same truths God wants to work into our lives. So you can make a donation by visiting us online at reviveourhearts.com, or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. And when you make your gift of $30 or more, be sure and tell us you'd like the new biography on Elizabeth Elliot. Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. And be sure and join us tomorrow again as we continue talking with Ellen Vaughn about becoming Elizabeth Elliot right here on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth wants you to remember, you are loved with an everlasting love, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Nobody could ever say that like Elizabeth. This program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.